say ah.
Welcome back to Open Wide Say Ah with me, Leka Lolas. Today I am joined by a friend. It feels like an honor to say a friend, Zoe Black. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So for those that do not know who Zoe Black is, give us a little breakdown, or even if it's things that I don't even know about you, who are you?
Hi, I'm Zoe. I'm Lauren's friend, as she said, apparently. I am a facilitator and now newly author and blogger. I'm a trans woman living in Cape Town, and I just randomly got invited to talk about sex on the show today. So I'm just like, yes, let's do it.
Let's do the things. Let's talk about sex, baby. Okay, so first off, you introduce yourself as somebody that is a trans woman. Is this something that you are doing particularly so that our listeners know who you are and how you identify? Or is this something that you feel like you claim all the time?
I think it's a little bit of both. For me, when I identify myself to myself, I always just describe myself as being Zoe. But when I start engaging with other people, it sometimes then becomes important to let people know that I'm trans specific to the conversations that we're having. So I think to a degree, in the context of this conversation, there may be points where being trans may be relevant to a particular type of experience. So it may be a little bit of context to the conversation.
No, it definitely is. I just find that with a few of my trans friends, you know, as soon as we start having a discussion, sometimes it goes quite long before we actually, the person will like engage and be like, cool, well, as a trans person, this is different, you know. And I feel like maybe it's either, it's not necessary to actually say it, or it's like, why do I owe it to anybody? Or like you're saying, it speaks to the particular context and the particular experience of a trans person. And for those that are listening that are trans or that have a trans partner, it does pay, you know, to know that somebody is trans when they're talking about especially a sexual experience.
Yes, I think so. Again, like, I think context is really, really important, even if you're not trans, to any kind of conversation that you're having. It just frames what you're saying, and it helps people get a better understanding about what it is that you're talking about.
So before I go into the deep things, let's say, you have recently been a published writer in a book.
I am.
Can you please tell us about this? I'll act like I don't know.
A few months ago, I was approached by Kelly Eve Koopman and Kim Windvogel to contribute to a book that they were intending to publish, which was a collection of queer stories and narratives from people who identified as queer in Africa. And they approached me, and I, being the person that I am, I immediately said yes, because I always say yes to everything, like this podcast. I said yes. I struggled to write because the writing was always difficult for me, for this thing specifically, because I always wrote for myself. So I'd run this little blog, and I started the blog in a kind of like therapy for myself. So I would often write for myself. And then suddenly when somebody asked me to write for them, it was a little weird. And then I thought, you know what, let me just write in the way that I've been writing. And so I penned a letter to my younger self, and then I sent that through, and they were like, yeah, very happy. And then they published in the book, and the book was launched. And yeah, I've read some of the book, and it's amazing. The stories are amazing. Some of it is a lot, so I'm reading it in like little bits and pieces to digest it properly. But the book is amazing, and we had such a nice time at Open Book Festival. Lots of talks around the book, and people seem to respond really, really well to the content. And yeah, that was amazing.
The book is called They Called Me Queer, and it is compiled by Kim Windvogel and Kelly Eve Koopman, like you said, who are two of my business partners from Femme Projects. And I was so excited when I heard about the book, and when I heard who was confirmed and who was actually submitting pieces, I think for me, I was so excited. I was going through like a big breakup, and I was down, and I was questioning so many parts of myself. And my friends were like, just come out, come out, come out. Like, it's going to make you feel lighter. And I was like, I don't want to, and I don't feel like it's necessary. And then I started, because we share an email address, and a lot of the stuff was coming to Femme Projects, our organization, I started reading some of the stories, and I was like, I am so overwhelmed. I feel like I had wished that I was in the right, like, headspace, that I could have shared my, like, first queer experience or queer experiences or my first kiss or when I realized that I wasn't, you know, heterosexual or me trying to tell my mom that I'm bisexual. And, you know, like I was just like, I also want to be a part of it and I want to tell the stories. But it was important to hear everyone else's story and see how far and wide the community kind of went of particularly brown people and black people talking on the topic of queerness. And there's a lot of traumatic stories in the book. And I felt like trauma ran almost as like a main topic through it. And I was like, fuck, we all have trauma, you know, we all hold it in our bodies. And even when we don't try to talk about those traumas, they come up. Because even like when I read your story, I cried and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to try to write my younger self a letter just because, you know, you've neglected things and you know that you've been like, let's put those things away. Let's heal different ways.
Yes, let's bury them.
Let's bury them. They're not necessary. And then you read other people's stories or you read your own story and you're like, I got troubles. I got issues. I got traumas. I got things that needs to be like be healed. And especially when it comes to, for me, when it comes to like sexual experiences, there are so many things that I'm like, let's not talk about that. And then I have a podcast that talks about sex. Isn't that ironic?
Oh, the irony.
So let's dive straight into sex talk, should we? As a trans person, I want to know, has your way of navigating your own body in sex, whether that be like in masturbation or whether that be with a partner, you are engaged?
I am. Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank
so
you.
So I will ask also in the terms of having a partner, has it changed how you navigate your body and your sexual experiences?
Okay. Yes, it has profoundly changed my experience. So I have to give context here as well. So I have been on HRT or hormone replacement therapy for a number of years now. And one of the things that I had experienced in the first few months of going on the hormones was a profound change in the way that I physically experience touch. I don't know how to describe
it. Please tell me it got better.
No, it definitely got better.
Yes.
Definitely better. There was a very different way that I experienced touch. And then there was also a very different way that I experienced things both mentally and emotionally. And they were a lot more like intuitive and a lot more intense than they had been previously. So with that as context, I almost want to say like I haven't been having sex until I came out. And I was like, oh my God, is this what it's supposed to be? Because it was like, it was good. Like it was like, it was really, really good. And I was like, what the fuck? And I didn't necessarily know how to articulate that. And the only thing I know is that it felt different and it felt good. Look, I'm also using words that I'm to get as close to the experience that I have as possible. And those are not quite the words. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't know if there is a vocabulary for it or not. But that's what it felt like. Everything is very internal, intuitive.
And I mean, it's for me, this is a learning conversation because although I have trans friends and I have quite a few friends on hormone replacement treatment, their experiences are spoken about very much in this like ideal way of looking physically.
Yes.
And feeling physically like this somewhat identity of a woman that you are wanting to portray. And sometimes that is very stereotypical. And sometimes it is, you know, it's triggering because you're not maybe looking the way you thought you would immediately or whatever. But no one really actually talks about how the hormones affect your body from a sexual aspect, you know,
yes.
Like, and I'm sure that things feel better because
ask your question.
Ask my question. So I want to know, like, because of the hormone replacement,
yeah.
Like, obviously, like, your breasts have grown,
yeah.
Right? They have, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm not just going to sound like a stalk. I've seen the cleavage online.
Thank you.
I appreciate.
Fans, go check me out on Instagram, yeah. Okay.
Yes, please go check out Zoe Black's cleavage on Instagram. So have your nipples and your breasts actually begun to be more sensitive? Or have they always had the same type of sensation?
No. Very, very sensitive. It's also weird because they're also like in a process of growing as well. So there's this one, there's a growing feeling, but then there's also, I don't know how to describe it because I've never had the sensation before. Mm. So again, vocabulary and words to try and describe it. But yes, there is a type of sensitivity and there is a kind of like erotic element to it. And it's wonderful. And I'm like, I've been missing this my whole life. Mm. My whole life.
You have. That's so exciting. I love that because, I mean, I know the feeling of like when your breasts are growing, if you do not have breasts, it's almost like a, like an itch or like when you, I don't know, like I have stretch marks on the side of my bum and like I know when I'm getting more stretch marks because there's almost like a tingle or like an itchiness. Mm. And I feel the same like in my breasts in certain times of the month, like your boobs swell, you know, and you, they feel heavy or they feel itchy or they, so I'm like, oh, welcome. Yes, feel the sensations. And like nipple play and the eroticness of like playing with nipples is not the same for everyone. Even if you are born and assigned female and identify as a woman and you have whether small or like big breast, not everyone's nipples have the same amount of sensation.
Yes.
And some people like, do they just like, no, it's not a thing for me. And other people, it's like, boo, if you put your lips on my nipples, I am going to orgasm. So don't do that right now. You know, so it's different. So I'm like, yes, welcome. I'm glad that it's on the positive side. So to like discuss a little bit further about navigating your body and that it's changed and stuff with a partner, was before you came out, was there things that you like didn't allow yourself to experience or didn't allow your partner to do or touch or enjoy or whatever? Like, was there like no spots?
Honestly, I don't remember if there was like specific things, but what I do remember is a very strong, and hindsight is a wonderful thing. And I'm only able to see that now, how I felt back then, that there was I had a profound uncomfortability in my own body. And I think that may have precipitated a whole bunch of stuff in the way that I had experienced sex, who I chose to have sex with, how I chose to have sex. So it was more for me around how the uncomfortability that I had felt, but not knowing that that uncomfortability was there. Again, with hindsight now, I know that it was there and I'm a lot more comfortable. I'd always been very fluid in my sexuality to a degree. And that may have been a consequence of being trans, or that may have been a consequence of just being fluid. I don't know. But that's always just been me. But when I came out, I was just like, okay, I broke this boundary now. So let me just like smash all of it. And then I was just like, anybody, anytime, I'm up for anything. Let's do it.
Nice. Well, now you're engaged. Are you monogamous?
I should say yes. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yes, I am in a monogamous, stable, committed relationship.
Okay,
yes.
That's very good. Well, for you and your partner, not for me. I'm joking. You know,
subtle.
I feel like I'm privileged because I knew you a bit before you were out.
Yeah.
So I knew, I didn't know you like that well, but I was always observing you and I at least got to see you because you were studying above me. So I watched you from like an actor's point of view and I wanted to like learn from you. And then I was like, oh, why are you so pretty? Why do you always have eyeliner on? And you were kind of in the circle of men that I was hooking up with. And then I was like, why are you here? You know my secrets. Like, go away. And I feel like once you came out, you were more in my like new circle of friends that I had found and my community that I had found. And I was so happy to have someone that felt like you were from a past that I was, you know, also like hiding or not admitting to or whatever, that felt like very secretive. And then I was like, okay, now we can actually, you know, recognize each other, see each other, see how much we've grown, see things. And then I'm like, okay, because somebody asked me the other day, like, were you close to Zoe in university? And I was like, no, not really. I was like, you were there. You were always there. I saw you there all the time. But anyway, you were close. And now I'm like, I want to know more.
I guess like part of like, so I have this theory, or at least a theory that applies to myself. I think there are people who define themselves as, you know, being heterosexual and pansexual and homosexual. For me, I have a an underlying feeling that people are attracted to people, and that might not necessarily have to do anything with being sexually attracted to people. Mm. So you're talking about me being around you and you being around me back then. And now we're kind of in a similar situation space and we've almost grown in that kind of way. Mm. And so that for me also speaks to this notion about that there is a thing about a person that you identify and you go, ooh, I like that about this person. And so you tend to gravitate towards people that you like in that thing that you like them. You know what I mean?
Mm. Mm. As a sexual and sex educator, I always say no matter who you're having sex with, or no matter who you even just kissing, consent and having these conversations for me are the most, like, that is a turn on. If you ask me, can I kiss you?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, if you ask me, can I lick your nipples? It's a turn on. Before you just go in and do it. And I felt like I was so shy and so excited that I didn't listen to my own advice. And only afterwards I was like, oh, I wish I had asked the questions, but thank goodness it wasn't only one experience. So I could ask the questions. So for you, in your sexual experiences, has there come up like times when people have just not asked or just like going in?
I don't know. So just listening to you talk about that is like just sitting here a turn on for me already, like the notion of somebody just asking, just you ask. Is like, oh, okay, it's like it's getting a little warm, like, okay, maybe you should not ask now, because like, you know what I mean. So for me, like, consent is always a turn on, and I do like, not that I like a lot of talking, don't like a lot of talking, but I do like it when people ask. The assumption, look, I get how people are, let's call it, hesitant in the assumption. So you want to be mindful of a person when you're in a very kind of like intimate or vulnerable position. So you don't want to make somebody else feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, I think people are also good at establishing their boundaries. People know like when that something doesn't feel good or doesn't feel right. They're like, okay, actually, don't do that. I'm uncomfortable with that. Even if you're not in the mood to do a certain thing, you can go like, actually, I'm not in the mood for this now. Can we just not do that? Mm. Let's do something else. Or do that for me. I like it when you do this.
I also think that people, the bodies changes, you know, like sometimes I'm like, yes, I'm into that. And sometimes I'm like, do not do that. I don't want that. Don't do it again right now. Do it later. You know, so I feel like we, like you're saying, like communication and consent is sexy as hell. And that's, I think we need to start practicing that more. And that silent sex for me is a turn off.
Yeah.
Like, if you are just quiet, I don't know if you are enjoying it. Like, our parents are not in the next room. You do not need to, like, be silent. I'm not asking you to, like, scream and, like, make noises. Like, fine, cool. There are, if there's people around, you don't need to. And if you don't feel comfortable, you don't need to. But I want to know what is working for you and what you like, or what you want me to do, or what you want me to do more of, where you want me to stay. Because then afterwards you're like, I like that thing that you did, but you were there for 2 seconds. I'm like, Why didn't you tell me?
Because, yeah.
I mean, I'm not doing this just for me. So I just want to like encourage people to actually have more sexual conversations, and that it doesn't have to just be like sexy and like, ooh, I like it when you do this. Or, you know, just like upfront conversation of like, cool, I'm not into anal play and I'm not into this, and don't ever try fist me. It's like, I don't like even the idea of it. Or, this might be scary for you, but will you please try this on me? You
know? Also, like, yeah, we have to, like, it's like, it's also like a practice that we have to do. Mm. So, like, this idea that, like, okay, two people are going to come together and have sex, and then it's just going to happen, and then it's going to be wonderful and amazing. Mm. And we're people.
Yeah.
Like, people like different stuff. So you have to tell me when I have to communicate with you in the thing, maybe sometimes before. Mm. About what it is that we like and what it is that we don't like, what it is that you are definitely a no-go on, like, oh, yeah, don't ever do that again. That's like, for me.
Yeah.
So we have to do that. And it doesn't have to be an administrative task, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's bloody sexy.
Yeah.
Tell me what you like.
Tell me what you want. But I also think that's because of media, and especially because of like American movies. We think that sex is like this smooth, sexy thing that just flows. There's only sex sounds and oohs and ahs, and then you're done and you lay in each other's arms and it's beautiful, and then off you go. And I'm like, but They didn't even say what they want or what they don't want or what they like or what felt good. Like, what was the best part of that sex? I don't know. Like, you know, I want to know what people are actually into. And I think that we need to also just be aware of, even if it is something that people love or don't love or whatever, this triggers in our bodies.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times that comes up in sex.
Yeah.
Because you're being vulnerable, you're being open, you are being touched, whether it be a stranger or whether it be somebody that you've known for quite a while and like a partner, you can do something that just, you know, is a trigger or a flashback or anything. And the best way for the other person to know and to respect that is if you communicate and you're like, look, let's move on from there. Let's do something
else.
Like, no, not right now. So I think it's interesting that we navigate bodies being trans or not being trans, being homosexual or not being homosexual, whatever you are, that communication and consent is a way of a turn on for a lot of people, but also just knowing what people are into. Are there frustrating questions that people ask you, especially when it comes to like sex? Like I know there's always this stupid lesbian question that we get, like, oh, but you said you had sex with her. How? Like, what did you guys do to rub your cookies against each other? You know, like a skin on skin. Does skin on skin count? Is outer course a thing? Like, you know, people want to know how you are having sex. I don't know why people want to know so much if they're not actually sleeping with me. But do you get stupid, like, irritating, frustrating questions?
I do. Like, it's almost on like a similar level. So somebody would go, okay, but you're trans, so how does that work? And I'm like, huh, what?
What do you mean, how like, does it,
like,
work?
So like, it baffles me because I never know how to answer the question because I, like, are you talking about like my anatomy? Mm. Are you asking now, do I have a penis or do I have a vagina? Mm. Firstly, why the are you asking that? Mm. Like, none of your business. I mean, unless we're going to sleep together because then that's potentially a thing. Mm. But even in the context, it's, I find that the questions come from a very, very heteronormative, straight narrative. Mm. So I think when two people or three or four or however many people are engaging in something, I think people find ways of how the bodies meet. And these bodies meet in different ways. I've had sex with an array of people. Mm. Different types of people. And it's been different every single time. Mm. Even if those people, even if it might have been two, cishet women, potentially, or if it had been a straight man, or you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If I compare them like for like, the experience has been very, very different. And so I don't know why we try to like apply the same formula to the way that just because you're having sex in that kind of way doesn't mean that somebody else is having sex in that same kind of way. Mm. So I do get these like little odd things, but not so much anymore. I've learned to kind of like weed out that conversation like way before it happens. Cause I think like that's usually like a thing around like people like potentially sometimes being transphobic or people just being like a little bit close-minded. So like the minute I detect a little bit that of that in a person, I start withdrawing a little bit. And so I don't even let the conversation get to a point where that person is able to even ask that question because I'm already like, okay, gay boy, bye.
Yeah. So. I think it's also a lot of fetishizing. You know, people want to know you are doing and how your sex looks and how your sex sounds and how your sex feels and what anatomy you have and like what do you actually do, not only because they are transphobic or because they are somewhat like a bit interested, but there is so much fetishizing on trans bodies.
Yes.
And I think even in general, like, I think that's why people ask, like, how do you have so-called lesbian sex? Like, what are you guys doing? You know, because it is, I want to know if it is what I'm watching in porn. I want to know if you guys are doing all of that. If you are actually enjoying it, are you not missing a penis? Like, is the dildo enough? Like, do not need a man in there. I'm like, oh, really? Are these the questions? And it does come from like a fetishizing point of view as well.
Yeah. For me, in my experience, like a lot of the men specifically that I have had sex with had to some degree fetishized me in wanting to hook up with me. But for me at the time, like, I'm just wanting to get laid. So I had like, I don't care what you think at a point, but it is also like, it is a bit of a problem because like I'm a person first before I'm any kind of idea or concept that you might have. So sit down. Please.
I like it. Okay, so you say that people ask these questions. Is this in your DMs? Like, I want to know what's happening in your DMs. Are people hitting you up on that Instagram for that cleavage?
The DMs used to be so lit, not so much anymore. Again,
because you put a ring on it.
Also that, yes. They used to be very, very lit. Like, when I came out, I was very, self-destructive to a degree.
Mm.
But also, I was being free and I was just being myself. And so a lot of the content that I was posting, particularly online, was me trying to liberate myself from a whole bunch of stuff that was going on. And subsequently, I had so many men and women, actually. A lot of people, like, I probably hooked up with a lot of people just because of the DMs, probably.
Mm.
Thinking about it now. They used to be very, very lit. Like, but sometimes also, like, inappropriately, like, people just being like, you know, there's like nasty, but then there's also like, no,
the line.
Like, there's a whole like thick boundary that you just like stepped over now. But now not so much anymore. I tend to ignore messages from people who try to slide in there. And I'm just like, I'm really not interested at this point. In engaging.
That's good. That's good to know. And good unless for your
potentially, you know,
know,
my partner decides, you know, that, ooh, this is also a potential person to like have join us at a particular point or that we would like to join. But other than that, no.
Okay. You know, it's good to ask because I am somebody that like, sometimes that like I check myself. I'm like, are you really sending this person this message, Lauren? Like, are you really going to be that person in their DMs? And then I'm like, actually, you know what? They just deserve to know. They didn't know, firstly, that like, when I see a stupid video of them laughing, for some reason, I find them sexy as hell. Secondly, like, that photo of like their body just from like the side, I'm like, you are turning me on. And then I'm like, what? But also, there's a way of telling somebody. So I do, yes. I do see the line of being like, ooh, that's dirty, or like, oh no, that's nasty. But I don't want to cross it myself. So it's good to know that you're not looking for that in your DM, but we're out here, you know, us thirsty girls, we'd be out here asking people all the things
totally
in the DM. All
you
the things.
Totally
I remember when you got engaged, I was like, oh my word, I'm so happy for you. And then I messaged you in your DMs and I was like, I'm saying now you're off the market. My heart is broken, but yeah, okay, fine.
My condolences to you.
No, we must say the things, but also not everyone's relationship is the same. So like you say, you know, unless your partner's wanting to invite somebody in, so maybe I should go to her DMs and not to your DMs.
Maybe you should.
No, I'm joking. Okay, so do you think that your sex life has become, I know you say that you've gotten like a lot more feelings and sensations and that it's gotten deeper and better. Do you feel like it's become more fun and more freeing that you can just be yourself in sex?
A lot more. I think part of that has to do with me being comfortable. And for a large part of my life, I was not comfortable. And now that I am, I'm like, but now the possibilities are like endless and I can just like, I can do what I want. I mean, within boundaries and within consent, obvious.
Yeah.
But I do feel a lot freer. And I do feel a lot more open to exploring things that I hadn't before. I think I was maybe a little bit afraid too, because that was maybe inappropriate for myself at the time or whatever that was. But yeah, I've had a lot of like interesting and weird experiences. Some of them were like really, really great. And others were like, okay, no, we are not doing that again.
Let's not do that again. No. You know what? I find it hilarious because somebody might kill me for like sharing a sexual experience, but no one knows who it is. So I am kinky as hell. And I always have been, but I feel like I like stopped myself because I was in a somewhat monogamous relationship for a very long time. And so we played a lot, but there were certain things that I didn't do. And then I feel like as soon as we broke up, I was like, okay, now I can go and just be as queer and wild as I want to be. And then I asked someone to like do candle play with me. And I was like, this is what I want. I want to be hurt. I want to be burnt. I want this hot wax dripping all over my sexy body. I'm so into this. I was horny as hell. Bruh, the next thing I am like, and I was like, don't. And it was just, this is revealing a lot, but it just took me straight out of it. I was like, you are burning me. And it was no longer like kinky fun.
It wasn't fun anymore. No.
And sexy. And I was like, I'm so embarrassed. And I was like, this is the thing I really wanted to do for so long. And now I'm doing it. And I'm like, why do you not work? I also think that it was not like the right candle. I'm not making excuses. And because it was like in like a metal thing. And I feel like the metal made it hotter. And because it wasn't on my back, it was like on my front. I could see it coming. And I was like, I don't want to see it coming. I just want to like feel it. Like if I faced you while you whipped me, I'm going to dodge that whip. And I'm not going to like it. But if you whip me from behind, I you can whip wherever the fuck you want. Like I'm not seeing it.
Okay, so I have the same thing. I kind of do enjoy a little bit of...
pain.
It's not quite, I don't know how to describe the word. I don't have the vocabulary again. Mm. It's not quite pain for me. I really do enjoy it, but I don't want to see it.
So like, no, I don't want to see it coming.
Blindfold me. Oh. And then it's like, then
we are like, okay, cool. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to blindfold myself. Well, this person can blindfold me. And then I'm going to be like, can we redo that candle? Now that I can't see it coming, I'm not going to freak the hell out. Because, I mean, also, people of color, we need to also just address that, like, some kink plays and some torture plays and some pain plays, like, do we know our history? Like, you think my brown ass is not going to dodge a hiding?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay, I want to play a little fun quiz. There's no right or wrong. It's supposed to be a speed quiz. If there is an option that it's not on the list or on the question that I ask you, you have to choose. So if I ask something and the answer is switch and it's not there, you can't tell me that it's a switch. No, you can. But let's see what you can get.
Okay.
Through. Okay. So this is about you, about how you identify or what you do or what you play with or what you into.
Okay.
Okay. So first up, do you identify as lesbian?
Yes.
Do you identify as bi?
Yes.
Do you identify as trans?
Yes.
Do you identify as queer?
Yes.
Are you intersex?
No.
Are you asexual?
No.
Are you pan?
Yes.
Are you a top or a bottom?
Bottom.
Are you a sub or a dom?
Sub.
Do you prefer it from behind or from the front?
Behind.
Do you like to eat or be eaten?
Be eaten.
Do you like to fuck or be fucked?
Be fucked.
Do you have a favorite kink style? Like I heard you talk a little bit about that. Dominatrix, bondage vibes.
Blindfold me, do anything to me. Yeah.
Cool. Do you have a fetish?
No.
Have you ever tried bondage?
Yes.
How old were you?
I can't remember.
The first time or the main time?
No, let's go with the main time. I was 28.
Nice. Loud or soft in sex?
Loud. You very loud.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I won't bring you home. Fast or slow?
Both.
Hard or soft?
Both.
Yes. Lube or wet enough?
Lube.
Mm. Do you know and understand the anatomy of a vagina?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to think so.
I'd like to do a quiz. What's your favorite position?
Oh, this is going to sound so traditional, but missionary.
Oh my gosh.
Like when you do, if you do it right,
if your legs are closed enough. Can you think of your favorite sexual experience in your whole life?
Oh, wow. I actually don't think I'm going to share that because there might be a person that might be very, very cross with me if I do.
Okay. But all we know is that the sex is fun. And that you are
very inappropriate is what it was.
Bottom. Okay, well, Zoe Black, it has been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for sharing, you know, like an intimate conversation about your personal sex life. And it means a lot to me. And I'm sure to listeners that are like, good to know. Or yes, that is me. Or that is us or whatever. So I'm very grateful that you could be here and talk so honestly on Open Wide Say Ah. And for everybody, go and buy the book that Zoe is published in. They Call Me Queer. And I can't remember exactly what page you are on, but it's a great story, your story to yourself. And yeah, get it, people. Get it. And where can we follow you? Where can we, like, where's your blog?
Oh, okay. So you can find the blog. It's zoeblack.com. And you can find me mostly on Instagram at zoeblackza.
Yes, sir.
Open wide.